Thank you, David. It's all right. I want to welcome you all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The song that we just sung, Crown Him the Lord of Love. You know, I was thinking about that. Wasn't sure what I was going to preach on today. I want to go to John, and you all know this scripture, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. How many times have you heard that scripture? And it's not usually preached in our church, but can you imagine the sacrifice that God had his only Son give that one sacrifice for us, each and every one of us? I don't know whether that means that much to you. I hope it does. I think about myself. When I started this journey, I didn't know anything about God. I was kind of like a blank piece of paper, but I needed a healing, a spiritual healing. You know, most people, they want the blessings of God, and that's all they want. And there's a hymn that, and we don't often sing it, but it's 286, and it says, My father is rich in houses and land. He holds the wealth of the world. He holdeth the wealth of the world in his hand. Of rubies and diamonds, of silver and gold, his coffers are full, his wealth is untold, his riches are untold. You know, I've seen my God make rich people poor. I've seen my God make poor people rich. I've seen my God make sick people well. I've seen my God make well people sick. You know, there's lots of things in our lives that we need our God for. And the one gift is that will never be taken away is the gift of love. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about that. I want you to go to Matthew, 22nd chapter. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Right? Pretty familiar scripture. Usually most people go on to that second part of that scripture, but I want to focus on this. When you met your wife, when you met your husband, you couldn't spend enough time with her. Your boyfriend, your girlfriend, was something about him you wanted to know. That's how God wants us to love him. You know, we sometimes don't put that quite together, and so how do we do on that one for ourselves? And sometimes I don't think we do very well. I want you to go to Genesis 18. And this is where the Lord is on his way to Sodom and Gomorrah. And he's just stayed with Abraham. And I'm going to start in the 17th verse. I'll start in the 16th. And when the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Right? And so, told him he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Think Abraham loved his cousin Lot? Of course he did. And so he argues with the with the Lord. 22nd verse. And the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure, there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That it be far from thee to do after that this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And so he's pleading with God not to do this. I believe because of Lot and his family. You know, we love our children. We love our grandparents, our parents, our grandchildren. Don't we? Of course we do. We would do anything for them. You know, but there's a point in our lives, I think, that how do we love our God? We just read that we're supposed to love our God with all our heart, with all our might, with all our mind. Sometimes wonder how well we do that. I find that I talked to someone last night for about an hour and a half. You know, you have to get to a point where they are able to receive those things that you would like to tell them about that love that God has for us. Because the trials in our lives, they kind of soften us up, don't they? They kind of make us look at ourselves and see what manner of person we are. Doesn't matter whether you're man or woman. They give us an opportunity to look inside and see who we are. Why we love someone. What it is that's important in their lives. And so, you think God knows the decisions that we're going to make in our lives? Of course he does. He knows exactly what we're going to do. The difference is he wants us to see the consequences of those decisions in our lives. Whether failure or whether success. He wants to see what happens, what we see that happens. And so, I see the same thing in Abraham. So if you go over to the 22nd chapter of Genesis, I'm going to start in the first verse. And it came to pass that after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I tell thee of. He didn't even question him at that point. You see, he believed God. And he loved God with all his might, mind, and strength. That would be a difficult thing. He rode 3 days with him beside him. Could you imagine the agony that he felt? But to have a love for our God like that, how many people could do that? You see, there's a kind of a maturity that no matter what you go through, you you turn to your God. When there's a trial in my life, I ask the Lord, I say, Lord, you're trying to tell me something, or I'm an example for someone else. I get lots of trials in my life. They're not fun for the most part. But I have to look at who I am. And when I started this journey, it took a great disaster in my life for me to find this, to come this far. Not really a very good public speaker. I've never really done it before. But when I'm talking to people, you know, I'm not afraid because I know that my Lord is the one that gives me the words to say. So, these trials, how important are they, all these weaknesses that we have? You know, they're very important. They tell us where we are spiritually. You can have everything. I want you to go to the first and second chapter of Job. And maybe I'll explain things a little bit better. Didn't have it marked. Now, this was a man that was a righteous man. Sixth verse, first chapter. Now, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro on the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Has thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and saith, Doth Job fear God for naught? Thou hast made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side. Thou hast blessed the works of his hand, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thy hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. Notice something interesting about that set of scriptures. Satan had no power over him unless God gave it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thine power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. So did Satan have any power to put upon Job at that point? The answer is no. You see, I think there's rules of engagement. This is a hard sell for most people that are Christians. Because that would mean that God was in charge. Last verse of that chapter, and all this Job sinned not nor charged God foolishly. Lost everything, didn't he? Lost his family, lost all his possessions, lost everything. So I want you to go to the third verse of that second chapter, and this is the same thing that goes on here. But there's something interesting about this. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man? You notice that that is God's description of who Job is. One that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity. Although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. Who was saying that? That was God. He took the responsibility because it was his. He allowed that thing to happen to him. Do you think it didn't change Job? Absolutely. Do you think those trials in our lives, they don't change us? Absolutely. They change us in dramatic ways that we might look at ourselves and go, unfit for the kingdom. You know, there's a scripture, and it is the 18th chapter of Luke. And it says this. I'm going to start in the 19th verse. And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? None is good save one that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery. And this is where he's talking to the rich young ruler. I should have gone back one verse. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, All these have I kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. You know, I look at myself and I go, Only one? You see, most people look at God as a benevolent uncle. You know, I just want the blessings. I mean, my God told me one time, you know, I had a dream and I seen myself leaving this place. And a friend of mine was dying of cancer. And called her up and I asked her, I said, as a dear sister of mine, I asked her, I said, and she used to have amazing dreams. And I said, I want you to pray and ask the Lord what I could do that would be pleasing for your sake. And so she called me back in about a couple of weeks and she said, Oh, you don't really want me to tell you what he said. And I said, Yes, I do. She said, I put it in his heart, knows where he's supposed to go, but he's thinking of reasons why he shouldn't. I said, I know exactly what that is. You know, my God has given me everything that I ever wanted. A little farm, my backhoe, you know, my loving wife, my children, all those things. But it was a reminder of things that my God had done in the past. And I had to look at myself and allow those things to be put in front of me. How much did I really love my God? You see, we're kind of selfish creatures. No different than any of you, but I... Now that I'm retired, you know, I've seen people that have retired and don't really do anything for the Lord. It's truly blessed me in so many ways. And yet, do I love my God like that? I want you to go to Matthew 13. You heard me use this scripture before, but I hope it brings the point home. 10th verse. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because It is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. It's an interesting scripture, isn't it? It didn't mean they lost their salvation. It just means that they didn't want that relationship that was so close, that he would tell them everything, that he would show them those things, that it was important enough for them to know those mysteries. Not because they wanted to beat someone over the head with the truth, is because he wanted them to understand who he was. How bad do you love your God? Or how much do you love your God? You see, they were the masses. They came to be healed. They came for all kinds of different reasons. You ask yourself when you're sitting here, what did you come for? Do you love your God that much that you would give your life for him? Had a friend of mine that's passed on now, lost his, and I bore this testimony one time in a sacrament service. But this was my neighbor, and he was a good guy. He was a really good guy. And his Methodist, they were having the sacrament one day, and his son had been killed in a plane crash, and his daughter had been murdered. Had one son left. Really nice man, kind. And said to me, he says, you know, he says, I was kneeling down, everyone was too, and he said he heard this voice, and he was feeling sorry for himself because of the loss of his son. He couldn't be there. He said he heard this voice, and he looked around, everyone was kneeling, and there was no one making a sound. He said, that voice said to him, he says, is your son better than mine? I gave mine so that yours could live. You know, we always look at what the sacrifice is or what's in it for me or whatever else. You know, I think Paul, when he started out, he was persecuting the Christians. And then he ended up, he'd give his life for them. What changed? He had to have that love in his heart for each other and for his God. You know, in the Book of Mormon, it says, have a love for God and all men, even the ones that aren't nice to you. That's kind of a hard thing to do, isn't it? There has to be a change within you. And I believe that change is that love, that one thing that won't be done away with. And that you love your God that much, that he is so important to you. Hopefully it changes who we are. You see that journey that Paul went on, and it's the 9th chapter of Acts, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Didn't really have that love in his heart, did he? You know, there was something about, and I didn't start out in this church, most of you know that, but I seen in those old elders from the RLDS church, the love that they had for their God. and the miracles that they did. I mean, amazing things. And I was like Elisha. I wanted that because I had hurt so bad. I wanted that. I wanted to be like Elijah. Not for the glory of myself or anything like that, that the power that it commanded. How would have I handled that at that point in my life? Not very well. You see, there's a maturing that I think sometimes as Christians, some people never get to. Just like Abraham. Lord, not my son. The other one you can take, but not that son. Can you imagine that? I mean, he argued with him about Lot. Something changed. And that change has to be within each and every one of us. That we love our God that much. But you have to be softened up a little bit. Those are the trials. Those are the things that our weaknesses, that we look at ourselves and go, what'd you give me that for? It's a defect in my character. It's like the speech impediment. I've had it so long, that's what I tell people. I've just got a speech impediment. But it has to change the way we think about things. It's not important for us to just say, well, I believe there's a God. Those masses came, they believed that there was a God. They seen the miracles. Everyone was healed. The blind see, the deaf hear, I could use that one too, and the dead are raised. But not to the glory of God. I want to go to Hebrews. Twelfth chapter. I'm going to start in the sixth verse. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastening, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Meaning, those trials are very important. They're supposed to make us look at ourselves. They're supposed to make us assess where we are. Whether it's in our church, whether it's at home, whether it's anywhere. It is that God wants us to see the consequences of our actions. Really important. I have lots more scriptures to think of, but you know, I love you all very much. My God has done amazing things in my life. But the most amazing thing is that he reveals those things to me that I might correct them. I hope he does the same thing for you. I appreciate your time and your effort for being here. And I hope and pray that you love the Lord like that. Thank you.